right, let me just confirm. Jed, are you back with us?
I am. How are you?
All righty. I am fabulous. To each of you and all of you, we are excited that you are here for our Media Bids Power Hour, an educational teleseminar specifically for those of you in media ad sales, whether you're selling ads in print, on your newsletter, in your website, whether you're with a magazine, newspaper, or a niche publication, whether you have free circ, paid circ, or controlled, you know who you are. All of that fits right into the umbrella of the work that we do here. Every single month, we come and bring you tools and resources and an opportunity to listen and learn and be able to take the information from here and utilize it immediately. Every single one of our educational power hours include three specific goals. Number one, we want to share new ideas to stretch and spur your thinking and your thoughts. Number two, if you hear something that you're currently doing, that simply means we're confirming best practices. Number three, the serendipitous, the other things that will come up and crop up as you listen to myself, as you listen to Jed, as we banter during the course of this hour. Other things will sort of brew up that you weren't even expecting. It might be related to the topic, or it might be related to something else. So we always encourage you to listen closely and be an active listener, which means we also suggest close your office door, find a quiet spot, turn off anything electronic that might distract you, because the more you make notes and the more you take notes, the more that we're going to transfer the knowledge to you. So it's not an accident that we don't have something on your screen that would simply create mini-tasking or multitasking. The very best in adult research on education and learning simply says make notes, and therefore you learn more. With me is Jed, the founder and CEO of Media Bids. We've been hosting these for the past decade plus. Jed, how about some opening words for our group? Tell us what's cooking in and around Media Bids. I'll say a couple of words of introduction, and then we'll jump right into our topic for today, okay?
All right, great. First of all, I want to thank Ernest. He does a great job with these teleseminars. I always learn a lot. Thank you all for joining us. I've listened to a few of the teleseminars over the past month or so, and I realized that I pretty much say almost exactly the same thing in my little opening intro every single time, which is crazy because it's not, believe it or not, I know it's such a compelling message, it's not scripted. So it's just sort of odd that I literally say almost the same thing. My name is Jed Gould. I'm from MediaBids. I am I'm the president of the company, and we started about 20 years ago. We are entirely focused on driving revenue to publications. We do so in a variety of different ways, but our favorite sort of way to do it is through the print versions that publications produce. We find that we get the best results for our advertisers through print. The close rates are higher than any other medium. The quality of calls and the quality of customers tend to be much, much better than any other medium. And so we really feel like there's a lot of value to be had in print advertising, and that's what we pursue every day. We work with hundreds of advertisers and thousands of publications. If you're not working with us or don't know anything about us, please feel free to give us a call or check out our website. We are always happy to talk to any publication who needs information. So we'd love to talk to you more about how we can drive revenue to your publication as well.
Beautiful. And for those of you that work with Media Bids, you know the amazing resource that they provide, the incredible advertisers, revenue opportunities. And in reverse, those of you who have not that are joining us here today, either live or will listen to this teleseminar afterward, we encourage you to come into Media Bids, ask questions, learn about their model. There's a reason why that they tee up tens and tens of thousands of ads. There's a reason why they bring millions and millions and millions of calls over the years. They know exactly what they're doing, and they can talk to you about that. So lots and lots of insight there. By way of introduction, very briefly, my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I began in the advertising sales industry in 1986. Launched three of my own publications.
Wow.
I was a leader.
There was advertising back then?
Hello.
I didn't know that advertising was invented back then.
Hey, I didn't mean to startle you, but I've done this for a minute or three. Launched three of our own publications. I was a leader in a billion-dollar media group, and then we launched Power Hour in 1995. So Over the years, we've coached and guided more than 2,500 advertising sales leaders and companies and teams in 13 time zones around the world. There's a universal language related to ad selling and ad sales, and over the last 23 years, it's really been a jet. The core of what we do, we provide executive coaching, which simply means we help our ad clients see what's possible, find ways to help them accomplish the impossible, and basically the hotter the kitchen, the bigger the goals, larger the challenges. We love those, and that's who we serve best. The flagship of what we do, every single Tuesday we have a live weekly ad sales academy. Similar to this, you dial in, and we have a particular topic. The big difference is it's open mic. It's open line. We field your questions, whereas today you're going to be hearing from Jed and myself, and we're fielding questions by email. So we encourage you, come into our Power Hour site. You can learn more about that. This past week was week number 273. We work on our media kit presentations. We work on sales skills, business development, negotiating skills. You'll absolutely love the work that we do. So thank you so much for being here with us. Jed, today we're going to talk about our leadership path and pitfalls to avoid from a leadership perspective. And over the course of 265 educational power hours and the work that we've done together for the decade plus, we've never worked on this particular topic. There are principles here that we've woven into other parts of our teleseminars, but never one purely dedicated to a leadership path. So I first want to just talk about big picture. For those of you that are listening from the ownership, president, CEO, this is about your leadership as you're guiding and coaching your team. For those of you who are in the middle tier, maybe you're a sales manager, you're a VP of sales, this is about two parts. One, how you work with leadership up, and on the other side, this is also how you work with your team that you're guiding below you. And so whether you're overseeing sales, whether you're overseeing production, distribution, design, whatever that might be, there's those of you in the middle. And then the third portion of those of you that are both joining us and will listen to this teleseminar after are those of you that are beginning or in more entry positions wondering about your career path. What does 1 year, 3 years, 5 years look like? What does it look like in terms of my career potential and possibilities? And this is relevant as well for you. So we want each of you to remember listening kind of three-dimensionally, depending on where you are on the org chart and where you are in your career path will determine how this relates directly to you. So the first point and first question that we promised that we're going to cover and talk about is what are the methods to measure your career leadership progress and path? So Jed, very simply, if you know Mary Brown shows up and says, hey, look, I've been in media sales for the last 5 years, here's a little bit about me, you know, we start to open up the conversation by saying, so Mary, tell me, where are you now? Okay, and it often begins with a review of taking a look at their LinkedIn profile and, gee, how long have you worked for your current company and how long have you been in that role and how long did it take you to get from here to here to here? Let's kind of walk through, take me back to the prior position. Now go the other way and tell me, where do you want to be? You know, what progress have you made this year, Mary, we would ask, you know, towards your goals? If you said, look, I'm a top salesperson, but I want to become the sales manager, is often a request. Or I'm the sales manager, but I want to be the VP overseeing all of the media, right? You know, whatever it might be. Or, frankly, you know, Mary says, look, it's my own company. I have three people that work for me, but I want more market share, or I want to compete better, or I want more profitability. Whatever it might be, it doesn't have to be increases in job title or responsibility. If you're a smaller media enterprise, it can just be the growth of your revenue and your profitability from that perspective. Okay, so and then the other part, Jed, is that we talk about. So what is your plan over the next 90 days going forward, and is it in writing? So if I said to Mary, hey Mary, can you put your priorities for the next 90 days in my inbox? You know, I'm waiting. Hang on. Where is it, Mary? Or where is it, Tim? Whatever that might be. The point is, do you have it in writing, and what is your plan? Is often the challenge that we give to those that newly come into Power Hour and or want to talk to us about their path and their progress and the steps that they're taking. Does that make sense, Jed, from your perspective?
Yeah, that's a great idea. So you write down your goals for the next 90 days, and you I would imagine that they probably change more than you realize in a 90-day period.
Mm-hmm. They do, and I'm going to talk a little later about the use of a Word doc and the use of making changes and updates and so forth. But you are right. It is fluid. You know, we don't say, what do you want to do for the next 9 years? And we don't say, what do you want to do for the next 9 months? We keep it very simple, bite-sized. Look out over the next 30, 60, 90 days. What is it you're focused on? So somebody says, I'm really focused on growing my newsletter subscribers. And I'm like, great, but that's a fuzzy goal. It's not specific. It doesn't have a timeline and has no additional steps. So what is it specifically you're going to do to grow your newsletter subscribers? Let's get more specific. Number one, I'm going to put a subscribe form every one of my pages. Number two, I'm going to emphasize it in my e-newsletter. Number three, I'm going to drop in sort of run-of-press ads on the print side to promote my newsletter and the reason why. Number four, when the newsletter goes out, I'm going to have a make it easy to forward it and pass it along. Number five, I'm going to look for these three specific by company smart match alliances that I want to partner with so that I can raise my visibility and not only just grow incrementally my subscribers, but make a massive quantum leap. And we're going to double, Ernest, this year, the number of newsletter subscribers. That's more specific. You follow me on that, Jed?
Yeah. Now, for goals like that, do you start with the longer-term goals where you say, okay, my goal this year is to double, so now let's figure out how to get there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on what we're talking about. For example, we're coming up on the budget selling cycle for next year. So oftentimes we're working with our leadership teams and our sales groups talking about if you're going to go into budget selling season, what is your big story? What have you done this year so far that is part of your big story? What else do you want to be in your next big story of what you're doing? Hey, we then went out and secured this specific circulation or this added distribution, or we removed this geographical area. It was too much to cover. We brought it in a little tighter. Or we went through and did an update on our controlled circ, cleaned out A, B, and C, but added D, which is a new component to our controlled circ. Whatever that might be, obviously, it's all based on what? I want better ad results, right? More phone calls, more results for my advertisers, which, of course, is near and dear to your heart. So some of it is, yes, strategically over the next 12 months, I want to double my subscribers or I want to double the number of inbound calls and results for my advertisers, but you still have to break that down into bite size. So what are you going to do towards that in the next 30, 60, 90 days? Then we'll take a breath and say, okay, let's see what we've accomplished in the last 90. Now let's look to the next 90. So we go, you know, so we kind of just have this rolling 90-day strategy of strategic, big picture, and then the smaller, more tactical parts in between. You follow me on that?
Right, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, again, just an excellent point. And for those of you that are listening to this, if there are specific questions that you have related to these points, just simply send an email to ernest@powerhour.com or hit a reply to the confirmation that we sent you and we'll field your questions. A little piece, though, while we're on this first point, Jed, as a leader, we're also going to challenge you on what you measure. And it doesn't matter where you are in the organizational chart, or it doesn't matter if you're a husband and wife team running a small media group, that there are still things that we want to be measuring. And it starts with your dashboard. What goes on your dashboard? What are the things you're tracking in terms of large ad sales, presentations, renewals, collections, cash flow? What are those things? If you're a larger organization, where do you track team performance, individual performance, team morale, tenure, turnover? Those are the kinds of things that we're looking for. And then, of course, bids that we've taken from competitors. Where do we tie in our ad drop reports, the status of what's going on with our competitors? All of these things behind the scenes sync up from a leadership perspective. So when you're looking at and thinking about your career progress and your career path, these are the big picture. We're going to get more specific related to leadership skills to get there, but these are some of the big picture things that we initially start with and want to understand about you, your team, your organization. Ultimately, it's about joy. We want you to love your work, love the success you're creating, love the advertisers you're working with, love the results you're bringing them, the measured results, okay? All of these things sync up. We want you to love every step of the way, because later on in our teleseminar, we're going to talk about the words, hey, love what you do or leave it on the other side. But this today is about love, joy, and immense gratification in terms of what you do. There's nothing more heartwarming than being able to say to an advertiser, hey, look, your website's up 75% this year versus last year, and your inbound calls are up 50% this summer compared, or this season compared to last season. Those are really powerful, compelling words. And I know, Jed, in the work that you do around media bids and with your advertisers and your clients, that's something that you really are able to showcase as well, correct?
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, that's the cornerstone of what we do, is being able to track and specifically show what each ad is, what the performance of each ad is all about. We do it primarily through unique phone numbers, but you know, there are other ways as well. And we've talked about it many times on other calls, but it really sort of changes the selling dynamic and really helps quite a bit in terms of keeping advertisers engaged and spending money with you because you're able to sort of validate their results. So for us, that's a big part of the information that we're looking at on the dashboard is what the performance is like, you know, across thousands of publications and geographic areas, just to better understand where a particular advertiser performs well or doesn't perform well.
Mm-hmm. You bet. So let's sort of dovetailing right behind that, Jed, let's get more specific, and let's talk about the second point in question that we promised to cover, that is, how can we increase the speed of your success now and into the future, right, as a media sales professional? So these are specific tactical day-in, day-out leadership skills that when you have them and you own them, you're making a difference. And if you're not, you could spend years or decades stumbling along wondering why you're not increasing your compensation, you're not increasing your role and responsibility, and in some cases, depending on your role, you may be terminated, meaning you don't no longer have a path. So let's work our way through. There's 13 key points, Jed, that we're going to talk about in a very laser-like way. So all of you know, we're going to cover 13 points here and another 12 pitfalls. This would be literally a 2 or 3 day, full day leadership program. So we're going to give you bite-sized pieces, okay? If there's anything specific you'd like us to go deeper, please let us know by email. And if you and or your media team ever had an interest or wanted to go deeper on these, there's plenty we can talk about related to that. But they're very meaty, so we're going to cover lots, move quickly, make your notes, pose your questions by email, and we'll navigate from there. The first one, the letter U. So on your notes, put the letter U. The letter U is U-turn. It was something, Jed, that I began in my media days because I was noticing, like, all day long, I had sales reps coming in, Ernest, can you help me with? Or Ernest, I got a problem with? Or Ernest, whether it was my admin who needed help because, you know, she wanted, you know, like, you know, new stapler. I was like, just ordered the stapler. What are you kidding me? Or distribution saying, hey, Ernest, we're out of signs. We need more labels. We need more racks. I was like, hey, I'm handling way too many. I'm Charlie Brown, the answer boy. Like, this isn't working. And I'm drowning here giving them answers. As I put the letter U on my door and right in front of my desk. And they were like, well, what's that all about? It said, the letter U. No more. Can you come in my office and just dump a problem on my desk? You've got a brilliant solution. Ernest, I want to order a stapler. Here are the 3 bids I got. Do I have your permission? Yes, order the stapler. So the rule became, hey, bring me your problem. Fine, I'm listening. Bring me at least 2 or 3 solutions. Fine. And then tell me of those 2 or 3, which one is the best one? So what was I challenging every single team member to do, whether it was the smallest or the biggest issue, whatever it was? And by the way, it wasn't just staples. I'm being a little flippant, but you get my point, that there were times I was like, huh, scratching my head going, you know, Ernest, we want to buy Tootsie Rolls for the trade show. How many should we buy, and what's in our budget? I'm like, oh, boy, you know, we're way beyond Tootsie Roll conversations. But, you know, they were honoring the budget. So I realized that it was my fault for not giving them the budget, more importantly, helping them build the budget. So we'll talk about root cause and reoccurring themes and so forth, okay? But anyhow, the point is that the letter U simply stated to my team, bring me a problem, bring me solutions, and then why did I want them to tell me what their suggestion was? It was very simple. I wanted to know what their thought process was. Ernest, I've got 3 solutions, and I'm going to go with the third. And I'd say, well, why the third? And they would tell me, and I said, yeah, that's true, but the first one is actually better. Let me explain to you why. And they're like, wow, now I get it. So I could transfer the knowledge, and they didn't have to come ask me a second or third time about that situation because we had talked about what the problem was. It was solution 1, and therefore going farther, they knew the answer, and they began to ask me less and less questions along the way. So, Jed, the piece called The Letter U is a skill that we have used with leaders all over the world, and there's always this epiphany of, like, you literally mean the letter U? Draw that, hang it off my desk tape? Yeah, that's what we're doing. And the impact is nearly immediate. Within a day or two, they're pinging us back going, boy, you were right, or you were serious, or, boy, you won't believe how my team reacted. And it's always positive, and that leader gets a whole lot more time back almost immediately. Jed, any comments or observations about the letter U?
No, I mean, that's a great idea. I certainly do not do that, and I probably should, because it makes a lot of sense. Because you're right. I mean, you can have large parts of your day, you know, consumed with you know, relatively small problems on a regular basis. So that's a great idea.
Well, and the other part, too, is I'm also saying to my team, I'm empowering you to make decisions. Number two, I'm giving you more responsibility. Number three, I trust you. Number four, what we call around power hour is called no broken glass. And that simply means we're not heart surgeons. No one's, you know, waiting in surgery for us, and nobody's going to pass because we didn't sprint in. And that's not what we do. We're in media, right? We're media
right.
Sales. And so, you know, so you ordered two staplers. We'll return one. Don't worry. Right? You know,
right.
Basically, no broken
right.
parts. Or, you know, no broken
right.
glass along the way, okay? So the letter U. Now, let's combine that with our second strategy. Second strategy is feed forward, not feedback. Feed forward, not feedback. And in the example of the letter U, that's the first example of feed forward. Gather your team and say, the letter U's on my door because, first off, I have been agreeing to answer all of your questions at any moment and not challenging you to bring me solutions. So I'm raising the bar. And I'm going to raise the bar because I want you to be a better leader. I want to give you more responsibility. I want you to be a better thinker. I want you to know more about the world that moves around you and your role and responsibility. If you're in the creative, if you're in distribution or CERC, if you're in sales, if you're in ops, if you're in accounting, if you're an admin, doesn't matter. I'm going to challenge every single one of you. You want to bring it, a quote for a brand new phone system? Fine. Now tell me why. Tell me what the bids are. Tell me what the pros and cons are. Tell me who the companies are, and we'll sit and sort it out. But don't come to my office and tell me we need a new phone system. That will not work. So by using the feed forward, I'm communicating what it is we're going to do and as we go forward. Now take it a step further. We sometimes have what we call derailing executives or derailing leaders that come to us, or a company comes to us and say, look, you know, I want you to work with Mary or I want you to work with Bill. He or she are not doing so well in their role, okay? And so maybe they'll come to us and say, hey, look, hey, Ernest, you know, here's what's going on. I'm never on time for my Monday meeting. I'm never organized, and it never finishes on time. And we'll say, hey, Mary, hey, Bill, look, as a leader, you've got to be, you know, a person of your promise, and you have to deliver. And the person says, okay, but working with you and then the coaching, I'm sure it'll get better, and I'm sure the team will realize that I'm working. And over time, they're going to figure out that I have a coach and I'm being, you know, guided, and it's going to get better, of which we say, stop. Bill, Mary, that's not it. That is not the way it works. You're going to go into your Monday meeting, and you're going to overtly say to your team, first, let me apologize. I have been late to Monday meetings. I'm not organized, and I don't finish on time. You're going to overtly say those words. Why? Because they need to hear them. Number two, you're going to say to them, hey, not only that, if you notice that I'm on time, I am organized, I'm on time, and you want to say thank you or praise, great. You don't have to, but if you do, that's fine. But here's the part I want your help. You'd say to the team, you say, but if I fail to be on time, end on time, or be organized for Monday's meeting, call me out, period. You're going to help me be accountable, call me out. Team looks at you and says, wow, yes, you are serious. Guess what happens the second week? You're on time, you end on time, and you're tightly organized for that meeting. Team goes, wow, look at that. Ernest said last month he was going to do or last week he didn't do it. Look what he did today. Check a box. The next week I come in and do the same thing. Team goes, wow, what a big improvement. Third week they go, look at that. Ernest has actually made a change, shift, and improvement. There it is. So, Jed, in that little quick vignette, here I am as a leader, disorganized, late to start, late to finish. Suddenly, in the span of 2, 3, 4 weeks, I've done what? Made a quantum shift and a quantum change. And therefore, the team can see it. They give me credit. And now I have what? A new brand. They see me through a different filter, and I've made progress. Feed forward. Any observations, Jed, as you're kind of listening to me describe this particular model?
No, I think it makes a lot of sense. Do you, and how long do you think it usually takes to change, you know, to change how people, you know, what people believe about it, you know, about how your behavior is going to be?
Yeah. Generally, a month or less. That if you'll sit down on the first Monday and declare, here's what I'm working on, and here's what you can expect, by the second, third, and fourth week, it's going to be immediate. And frankly, even by the second and third week, not even getting to the fourth, the team goes, wow, look at that, new guy. It is the right. only way that we have ever seen to immediately impact change, immediately. Take, for example, we have an immediate client in Florida. President runs the company. There's a COO that we're working with, and she is guiding her team, okay? And the team member, there's a particular team member that is struggling, okay? And the president continues to meet with that team member and not include the COO. So there's a triangle happening. The president talks to the team member. The team member talks to the COO. The COO talks to the president, but the three are not sitting down. So what was the feed forward? Feed forward was bring all three together, the COO that we're coaching, guiding, declaring to the team member, here's what you need to know. As we go forward, everything you need will come through me. If there's anything else you need from the president, we'll meet together. But from here on going forward, I'm here to guide you, and anything you need comes through me. The president says, that's right. I want to reiterate what you just heard from my COO. Everything comes to that. So in that small shift, that team member knows what? No more going around the back door to the president. It's over. That's an immediate shift and change. You have to call it out just like that.
Right.
Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, but you're right. I could see that method working well.
You bet. Okay? So let's continue with these principles, okay? The next one, number three, and I'm going to clip along and just, you know, give us a little 60, 90-second snippet. This particular one would probably be a 45-minute sort of educational walkthrough and so forth if we were doing this as a standalone. There, as a leader, you have the four Ds. We've talked about this in some of our prior teleseminars, four Ds. An email comes in. Let's use it as an example. The first D is to do it. Just respond to it. Jed, you send me a note. I respond. Perfect. It's done. The second D, dump it. Jed, you send me a note. I reply to it. I delete it. It's no longer in my inbox. Gone. We're a piece of cake. The third D is delegated. Okay? Maybe a note that comes in from a client that has an invoice question. Great. Comes into your box. You reply to the client. You copy in your accounting department. Done. Dump it from your inbox. Gone. Third D. The fourth D is to decide. It's my least favorite of the four. To decide simply means financials came in, I need to do a variance report, I'll put them in my briefcase, I'll look at them tonight or early tomorrow morning when I'm not distracted, or maybe I'm doing an employee review tomorrow, I don't want to do it in the rush of a day, I'll take it home, it's in my briefcase, and we go. Or maybe it's a newsletter that's come in. Maybe it's a newsletter that I want to read, but I'm not going to read it at 10 in the morning, I'm busy selling. And I'm not going to read it at 3 in the afternoon because I'm busy working on a renewal. But maybe at the end of the day before I wrap up, I'll look two or three of those newsletters, go delete, delete, and I'm done. Okay? Four Ds. Every single action item that comes in by text, by voice, by email, by your internal system, whatever that might be, you've got to run it through those filters and run it through it quickly. Okay? It also is that principle of don't touch something twice. Don't open up a message. Jed, you send me a note. Am I going to open it now? Not respond. It just sits. And then come back later today and open it and not respond. It sits again. You compound that over your lifetime. You compound that over a day, a week, a month, a year. It's like, you know, it's a waste of our time on one side, and the other side, we're not being the most effective leader that we can be. Number four, the best day of today, the best Thursday, began with the best end of Wednesday. So we never end as a leader without looking at our calendar on Thursday. What do I need? What are my plans? What do I need to plan for? Do I have all my renewal information? Do I have everything I need for that new sales presentation? You know, what is it I need to in order to have my best Thursday happens on Wednesday. So, Jed, as I was wrapping up my Wednesday thinking about our teleseminar today, I smiled because this was on my desk. I looked at the key points we wanted to share. I made a couple additional notes, and I went to sleep last night like a baby because I'm ready for the best Thursday. It's ready to go because I did the planning on Wednesday, another one of those specific principles. Two more points I want to cover, and then I'll pause here, Jed. Point number five, the use of a calendar. I'm a big believer in the use of a calendar. What happens every month on the 15th? What happens related to your ad sales deadlines? Where are those positioned? What happens with your e-newsletter that goes out on the first Tuesday? Where is that positioned? The use of a calendar, daily, weekly, and monthly, of being able to teach strategically, like a helicopter, looking at your entire month and even into next month. Jed, even as you and I were planning our teleseminar today, we did this a month ago. And even as we were looking at next month and some of the things that might be a conflict for next month, just mapping that out at a helicopter level goes, yeah, I can see exactly what's happening next month. Perfect. Therefore, you know, I could end each and every day with my plan. I'm working my plan. And the other part of that is what I call double dating, not as in dating, boyfriend, girlfriend, but double dating. If I have a newsletter that I want to go out on the second Tuesday, that's in the calendar. Then I put a second or double date 2 days before that says review it. And then I go a week before, there's a reminder that says I have a newsletter going out next week. So a second or third date in my calendar that's going to live right there means I don't have to think. I can get up a week before that, get up the morning that week before that newsletter is done, and there's the reminder. And then a couple days later is a reminder to review it. And then the actual going out of a newsletter. If you just put the action items, take for example, there's an upcoming trade show or an association event, and it's going to happen on the 20th of the month. Well, what should be in your calendar 10 days before is what? I'm reaching out to my clients to see if they're going to be there. I'm going to reach out to my prospective advertisers to see if they're going to be there. And even if they're not, I have a selling agenda and opportunity. These are the things that leaders use to be able to maximize each day, to maximize their results, to be highly organized, and to have it look like grace under pressure, meaning you're just gliding with ease. Jed, any comments or thoughts or observations related to these points that I've just shared?
No, they're all really good suggestions, most of which I need to implement. But the question for you on the calendar: do you use a calendar? Would you recommend a calendar for an organization, or is that more of a personal calendar?
Great point. Depends on where a person is within the organization. So if I'm more entry level or sales rep, I have my own calendar, and I'm driving my own opportunity. If I'm a sales leader, I'm going to look at it a little different, okay? And if I'm the owner and the president of the company, I'm going to look at that a little different. So it depends on where we are within the organizational chart. For example, the owner of a company has dates to look at cash flow or collections or, you know, renewals and closing dates, whereas a salesperson says, I only have to look at my own. What is my own focus, okay? So, again, great question, you know, regarding that, okay?
And then in regards to number three, the four Ds, I've heard, you know, some people say that, you know, the best thing to do is to sort of set aside certain times of the day. So maybe, you know, an hour in the morning and an hour in the afternoon where you're responding to emails and dealing with things that come through on email. And then the rest of the day, you sort of intentionally ignore it in an effort to try to get other things done, because email has a tendency to just sort of suck up your time. Would you recommend something like that, or does the four Ds sort of supersede that?
You know, you're talking about another companion piece, which is time blocking, and I like that. For some of the very best ad sales, media sales people that we work with will talk about, hey, I get in at 6 or I get in at 7. That's my time. Before the day even gets rocking, I get in, I clear out all my messages, I return any phone calls, I handle everything in my box. So when the lights hit at 8 o'clock, I'm ready to go, or 9 o'clock, I'm ready to go. And I block Ernest every single morning from 9 to 10 or 9 to 11. All I do is cold call, prospect, just follow up, and roll. Then in the afternoons, all I do is book meetings. I've got a meeting at 1, 2, 3, and 4. So I time block, you know, and then in between those meetings, I'll jump over and see if there's any text, voice messages, or any emails, and then I jump right back into my meetings. So sort of time blocking it that way. I have some that do it the opposite. They like to front-load all their meetings. I run my meetings at 8, 9, 10, 11, and I have a lunch meeting. Then in the afternoon, I do all my prospecting, follow-up, cold calling, and so forth. So sort of thinking about two halves of a day. It's, again, a great question, and time blocking like that works magnificent. And, you know, I'm a big fan of that. And I think, Jed, as you know, I start my beginning of my days 3:30 in the morning. We have clients around the world, and my meetings will typically start at 4, 5, 6, and 7. In some cases, we'll run until 4, 5, 6, 7 in the evening, and they are back to back to back to back, all by choice. I like to work that way. So at the beginning of the day, I'll catch all of my emails. End of the day, I'll catch those. And then where I have maybe a little gap or a little window, or maybe a meeting is going to start 15 or 30 minutes later, I'd have a little more. I'll jump in. I'll eyeball the things quickly. And at the end of the day, I'm going to mop everything up, clean everything up, and have an empty desk, an empty inbox at the end of every day is my goal. The half goal is, even if I can't get to all of it, the message goes out that says, hey, Jed, thanks for below. I'll send you a fuller response tomorrow. And that gives me the bridge that says, hey, you got the note, but tomorrow we'll come back with my fuller reply. It also may mean it's something more important. It's not a simple yes or no. I got to either give that a thought or give it a review and so forth. You follow me on that?
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. Okay, thank you.
Okay, all right. So let's continue to the back half. There's 6, 7 additional points to share that will increase your success as a media sales leader. Next point, I like fast burst team meetings. In my corporate days, I typically did a full, so from a leadership perspective, I typically did a full team meeting on Mondays, which include admin, ops, circ, creative, sales, and we worked on all the big picture stuff. Then we would break off. Just do sales. Wednesday mornings, we did nothing but selling strategies. We would take one objection and spend 15 or 20 minutes just on that one objection or just on that one competitor. I truly believe that sales skills are like a knife in our kitchen, which means if you keep it sharp, it stays sharp, and if not, it gets dull and it gets rusty. Salespeople like to stay sharp. And that's the same reason why we run our academy every single Tuesday. Almost 300 weeks ago, we launched it. And I love coming every single Tuesday to work on those specific sales strategies. So short burst team meetings are those little, hey, we got to address this related to a collection issue. We got to address this. We got some good news related to circulation or our newsletter or our website or inbound calls, whatever that might be. Number 8, I like binders, especially for those of you that might travel in multiple markets or have multiple media publications. I like binders that have everything nicely organized. You know, here's my financial information. Here's the state of where we are with our renewals. Here's my ad drop report. Here's my web versus print versus newsletter. Here's what's happening related to those. Here's where we're at related to sales presentations this month, so I can see the pulse of what's happening. Here's the top 10 or the top 20 we're looking to close, so I can be involved from a sales leadership perspective. The bottom line is, even if you're a sales rep, having a binder, it can be electronic, can be physical, depending on what you're looking to accomplish, but you should be able to see immediately exactly where you're at over the course of any day, week, or month from that perspective. Number 9, gap analysis. Gap analysis is a big one. Jed, when we work with sales leaders or presidents or owners of media companies, you know, we'll literally say, hey, look, by name, I'd like to know each person on your team, and I'd like you to rate them A, B, C, D, or F, like just like a, you know, just like you would a math score. I want to know, you know, how would you rate them based on their calling? How would you rate them based on their ability to give a presentation and close biz? How would you rate them based on their ability to handle renewals? Three big areas that we do in media, sales, and selling, and then rate them. Tell me that Mary is an A in this category, an A in this, and a D in that. Why is she a D in that? Bill, why is he a B in this, a C in this, and a D in that? Let's go through that. And what we start to see is reoccurring themes and areas of spot coaching. We were working with a media group, and we did this, and the sales VP put giving presentations as a C or D. And it made me pause saying, okay, every single person on your team is weak in that area? Yes, because we never really incorporate it into our sales training when somebody new comes on board, which, by the way, is why the former VP is no longer here. I'm like, oh, okay, now I understand, because that's like the ABCs. When you onboard a person into your media group, you do what? You're tucking in that. It was very surprising, but when he said, hey, that's why the former is no longer here, I was like, okay, now what are we going to do to impact? So gap analysis. Number 10, root cause and reoccurring themes. look for those. Just like you just heard me say in this example, a reoccurring theme is my team is weak giving sales presentations. The root cause is not just to go train them, but the root cause is we don't embed that in initial training, or the prior VP wasn't doing it. So reoccurring themes are just things that keep coming up and they keep coming up. Okay, small example, in my earliest days of media selling and sales, Jed, I hated the issue of what? We got the wrong phone number. We didn't literally paste in the right phone number. What did we learn to do? Make a copy of it, have the client sign off, and we reduced our issues with phone numbers by 100%. Reoccurring theme, we were issuing credits. Reoccurring theme, we were putting wrong phone numbers on ads. The root cause was clients weren't signing off. You pause and go, it was that simple, Ernest? Yep, it was that simple. Sometimes it just takes that extra step. Root cause, reoccurring themes. A couple more comments. No doubt from a leadership perspective, if you want to succeed faster, you positively need to what? Hire the best, coach and train the best. It goes without saying. But on the other side, if you have those who are leaving or you're terminating, what do you learn from either of those scenarios? Leaving because a health issue? Unpreventable. Leaving because a spouse, a job transfer? Unpreventable. Terminating because of poor performance? 100% preventable, because the onus is on you from that perspective. Again, Jed, you can hear me sort of walking through these 13 strategies. There's so much here, as you can imagine. Each of these are 30 or 40 minutes or an hour more of content behind it, but sort of packing it into a leadership bite-size, step-by-step. I really wanted us to be able to share with those today in our teleseminar and those who will listen to it after we finish up some very specific nuggets. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Any additional comments or observations before we talk about pitfalls on the other side?
You know, I think thinking of problems as a root cause and reoccurring themes makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think that one of the things that I do, which is always a little bit surprising, is sort of keep like a loose journal of mm-hmm. problems that, you know, that come up and what we're trying to solve. And what I oftentimes find is that, you know, I'll come up with a solution for a problem, and then, you know, 6 months or a year later, I'll think to myself, boy, you know, I really screwed that one up, right? I didn't solve that mm-hmm. problem very well, or, you know, and mm-hmm. I always have this assumption that I'm incredibly smarter now than I was even a short time ago. You think to yourself, well, I'm going to solve this problem so much better today than I could have, you know, a month or a year ago. But when you, mm-hmm. When you're able to sort of put some information in and sort of track and see what it is that you were trying to solve and what you thought the problems were, you know, you find that very often, the problems that you were trying to solve, you know, you weren't necessarily wrong in how you were solving them. You know, you just, you know, maybe it needs some tweaking. So in terms of the reoccurring mm-hmm. themes, I see that all the time. You know, it's just trying to solve the root cause of a reoccurring theme and a reoccurring problem, which sometimes is not as easy to solve as the phone number, right? I mean, it can be more mm-hmm. of a systematic thing that requires more, you know, more moving parts.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. I can remember, again, I'm going back in time. I can remember when we would put together our publication early on. This goes back 3 decades ago, and we'd be flying out to Delta Dash to overnight it. I mean, you had to get it literally to the airport and on the plane. This was even pre-FedEx, you know, just to get it right there direct. And I remember us, you know, going, oh, gosh, we forgot to put the checklist in. Oh, gosh, we forgot to look at the maps. Oh, gosh, we forgot to look at the end. I was like, what's going on? Every single month, our publication goes out, and we're failing to deliver excellence. Well, hang on. We're going to build a checklist. The checklist became 168 steps. It was on a clipboard. And at any moment in time, you could see which steps were done, because person would initial it, and which steps were outstanding. So it was magnificent. Instead of having to worry or think about for 2 days all the moving parts, we didn't have to think anymore. We had a checklist. And if I did the first 10, Jed, you could see that. And if you did the next 10, I could see that. And then if Mary came along, she could see we did the first 20, and she could do the next 10, and everything went out with what? Perfection. Perfection. It was one of my earliest, I didn't even know that that was a reoccurring theme or root cause. I didn't call it anything. You know what I called it? An idiot test. Like, what are we doing? Month after month after month, we're sweating for all of it, and we're not delivering perfection. This is unacceptable. Again, right. Reoccurring theme, root cause. And over, we have seen this working with leaderships and teams that it's like, oh, what an aha. We don't have a checklist for that. How about a renewal checklist? How about a checklist before we go out for a new media presentation? These are all things that we do, Jed, in our Tuesday Ad Sales Academy. We provide all these things. So you just go right down the list. You can obviously customize it for your own media needs. But the point is there's a reoccurring theme. How many times do you have to think about what you do to prepare for renewal? Why not have a checklist and just go check, 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 check? There's 17 steps. I can smile because every single renewal I go do my 17. And by the way, instead of renewing 40%, I'm renewing 80%. Look at the improvement. Okay?
Right.
So a very important part. Let's shift gears. We're going to talk about 12 most important leadership pitfalls to avoid. Let's go on the other side, the dark side, for just a moment. These are the reoccurring themes that we have seen leaders fail, meaning by doing these things, you will fail and not accomplish your goals on the other side, which means you could be stuck in your current position, you don't grow your income opportunities, or in some cases, you may be terminated. Okay? So number one, all right, remember we talked earlier about letter U? What's the opposite of that? Jed, let me give you my problem. No. Leaders know better. Ernest, the letter U. Remember, it's on my desk. Don't give me that. You can give me the problem. You give me solutions, okay? So those who don't use the letter U, all right? Number two, what's the companion of feed forward? Not using feed forward, which simply means you're going to make a shift without using feed forward, which means no one's going to figure out that you're now going to be on time for your meetings, be organized, and finish on time. If you think people are going to discover it, you think you're going to stand out in an open field and people are going to come find you and go, wow, look at that amazing new leader, as they say in Jersey, forget about it. It doesn't happen, okay? Number three, be disorganized. Man, you want to grow as a leader, I don't care where you are in an organizational chart and where you are in your career path. And even if you're a small media group, you still have to be organized. If you tell someone you're going to follow up tomorrow, do so. If you tell someone you're going to come for a meeting tomorrow or today or next Tuesday, do so. You have to be organized, all right? Number four, you must keep your promises. It is a pitfall from a leadership perspective to say, hey, I promise you, Jed, that tomorrow we're going to sit down and do your employee review, and then me tomorrow have to apologize to you. No, that's not how it works. And by the way, not only, Jed, are you aware of it, but you're going to tell the two other people in the cubicles behind you, we're going to tell the four other people in the cubicles behind them, and everybody knows that I dropped the ball and was not ready for your employee review, okay? Number five, not telling the truth. This is an important component. You have to – the only story you can tell and sell is one that's truthful. When we talk about doing media comparisons, and I challenge our media teams, and I say, look, every single point on that media page – you've got to be able to defend, and you have to be able to justify. If you say you direct mail 30,000, then you have a matching postal receipt. And you have what? A matching print invoice. If you say you go out to 27,000 subscribers, you have the ability to showcase the address book that correlates to that or the delivery mechanism that goes out. Okay? That's the important component to recognize. All right? Everything you do must be truthful. Number six, be consistent. Or the lack of. If you say to one of your sales reps, Carrie comes in and says, you know, boy, the traffic is really blah, blah, blah. Would it be okay if I just come in at 8:30 every day, even though start time is 8 o'clock? And you say, sure, Carrie. I promise you by the next day before the sun goes down, three more reps will be in your office saying, hey, could I come in at 8:30 like Carrie? To which you go, oh, my God. How did they all know that so quickly? And that's a principle called tell one, tell all. So the moment you become inconsistent with one, it is a ripple effect. It is not a good thing. Be very careful. The moment you give a rate card concession to an advertiser, they all want that. The moment you have your team sell off of rate card, they all want to do that. Be very consistent. And this goes even to those of you who are sales reps and about rate card consistently. We've done entire teleseminars about not coming off of rate card. It's very, very important. Number seven, lonely at the top. The further and further you grow with your experience, Jed, in my early days as a sales rep, everybody knew everybody. Every couple of nights we went out and had a little bite or shot some pool or did something on the weekend. The moment I became their manager, I no longer was invited. Surprise. Lonely at the top. You're not no longer in the pipe. Important to recognize, okay? It is one of those realities. That's why, Jed, so often when we work with leaders and VPs and managing directors, we talk about this because they have to recognize that they have to read between the lines. They have to anticipate problems and challenges because they're not going to get it piped into them. They're no longer sitting at those cubicles. Point number eight, no weeds in our rose garden. It's one of our principles related to leadership and coaching. So if Carrie does come in at 8:30 and the start time is 8 o'clock, I'm going to ask, did you address that with Carrie? Well, no, I didn't, Ernest. Well, how long has it been going on? 6 weeks. Are you kidding me? I'm going to say, are you kidding me? How come you didn't address it the first day? Well, hang on. No weeds in our garden. Okay, and all of a sudden, did you notice it's not just Carrie, it's also Margaret, and it's also Tim, and it's also, yeah, I kind of noticed that, like, the whole team now rolls, and it's like a new restart. You know why? Because you didn't handle it. I can go on and on about examples related to that. It is important to recognize no weeds in your garden, because one day you wake up and there's nothing but weeds. There's no garden. Leadership principle. Okay, number nine, gossiping, never a place. There's no place to gossip. Do not sit down with Carrie and say, hey, what's going on with Margaret? And then sit down with Margaret and go, what's going on with Carrie? You can't do that. You can't come from that. It may seem obvious, but it's one of the areas that can really cripple a leader because Carrie knows that you're asking about Margaret, and Margaret knows that you asked about Carrie. Why? Because they're talking. They know it. Always know that, okay? Number 10, failure to praise. Praise is like making a bank deposit. Jed, out in the world of wonderful marital bliss, I've been married for 30 years. I know you and your wonderful bride for an extended period of time. Good and great things come from praise. Thank you so much for a fabulous meal. Thank you so much for taking care of our children. Thank you so much for planning our vacation. All of those things. The ratio, by the way, is 15 to 1, maybe 20 to 1 of critique, whatever the critique might be. Be careful on that. Same goes with your team and from a leadership perspective. If every time, Jed, I get called into the meeting with my VP, Charlie, and the only thing he ever wants to talk about is what I failed to do, I don't want to go to those meetings. You've crippled my morale. I know what the meeting's going to be about. I know it's going to be a beatdown rather than something positive. I know that you're not praising me, even though there's good things to talk about. It doesn't happen. I don't want to work for you. Ultimately leads to what? Turnover and transition. That's the reason why people leave. So watch the praise ratio to critique. Two closing points, better to guide as a leader with a feather rather than a hammer. You get more when a team wants to work with you and for you and will walk through fire, right, than the hammer, which says, hey, gang, I don't care what it takes. I don't even want to talk about it. Either we sell blank between now and the end of this month or heads are going to roll. Wow, what a bold statement. Heads are going to roll. How do I feel about that? Nice job, Ernest. Nice job coming into the bullpen and talking to us about that. You know, once a month you come in and do that hammer piece, we don't want to be here. In fact, three of us are going to leave next month. And there come the resignations. You get so much more. Bring the bees to your honey. Lastly, as a leader, inspect what you expect. So if somebody says, hey, listen, I'm doing a lot of great work with my prospects. My response can be, that's great. Why don't we pull up your activity for this month and let's go review your notes and your progress? Surely you've added those notes into your CRM. So as sales leaders or the owners and presidents of your company, inspect what you expect. For those of you in a sales capacity or in an ops or an account, always back up your work. Make sure that you can support it, that if anyone looks over your shoulder and says, can you show me or have you done, you can answer that. Okay? Now, Jed, there's a lot of meat behind these pitfalls, obviously, and lots to cover, but succinctly, as tight as I could, I wanted to walk through the reoccurring themes of the 13 that we've seen most frequently over two-plus decades. Any comments or observations related to any of those specific points?
I only that, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking of all the things I could do better, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of, you know, the failure to praise ratio, these are probably sort of good principles that speaking for myself, I need to review on a regular basis because I think there's some great ideas here, and it's given me several ideas of how to handle things
mm-hmm.
differently. So
mm-hmm. You know, so much about it from a leadership capacity, and thank you for, you know, sharing your observations on that. So much about, you know, being in a leadership capacity is, hey, first I need to know, you know, what I need to do, then I need to incorporate it, and then it just becomes a natural part. So I have played tennis since my teens. I taught through my 20s. I still work with low-income kids in Park City. We get them out on the tennis court, and we talk about going from being unconsciously unaware. And that simply means, gee, Ernest, I didn't know that, you know, what a forehand grip was. I had no idea. To consciously aware, here's my forehand grip. I'm gripping my tennis racket correctly. To subconsciously unaware, which means I don't have to think any longer. I know exactly where my hand goes to grip that forehand. You go through three stages. I didn't know. Now I do know. Now I don't even have to think about it. I own it. And that's what we see from a leadership perspective, but it also happens in sports as well when we provide that kind of coaching. There is one more point that I'm going to add, and then we'll wrap up with the last question and area, and that is, as a leader, failure to celebrate people's birthdays, milestones, anniversaries. On the other side, you'll have team members that have health issues, families with health issues. Take the time to ask about that. You'll have those who have debts in the family. Take the time to be aware and sensitive. In the most recent 10-day period, my wonderful executive assistant for the last 10 years lost her sister. Very, very close, just last week. Ernest, I'll see you on Tuesday. I'll be in the office. I said, no, you won't. You're not coming in. I know you're working behind the scenes with your family. Ernest, I'll be in on Tuesday. I said, no, you won't. Door's not even being opened. Please don't come in. Ernest, I'll see you on Wednesday. No, you won't. You're not coming in. You need to be with your family. The funeral's on Thursday. And then we went in celebration and love and joy for her sister and for our wonderful executive assistant and her family, and we were there for the funeral on Thursday. Never, ever easy, but those are the things that we do for those that we love and who are on our team. So be very aware and sensitive that the things that are happening in people's lives matter. And if you don't, then once again, it becomes one of these leadership areas and pitfalls. Jed, we're going to wrap up just with some closing points here. The key drivers to optimize our career leadership path. So just in summary, number one, you must have a passion. Have a passion for all you do. Jed, at the very beginning when I said, I've been doing this since 1986, you're like, hey, Ernest, I didn't even know they had printing presses back then. Yes, they did, baby. Have a passion. 3 decades. I've been in the same space. It's like Bill Murray's Groundhog Day. Every day I get up, it's the same thing. I love our media world. Have a passion, okay? Number two, love what you do, and if you don't, leave. Truly, if you don't love media, it's not in your blood and in your, you know, look at Jed. All the years, Jed, you've been around media, you love it. And if you don't and you stop loving it, leave it. Number three, take initiative. I cannot say enough about this. Raise your hand and say, I'll take on that ad drop report. Raise your hand and say, I'll do that competitive analysis. Do more than is just what expect is what it, than what is expected of you. Take initiative. Number four, always be green and growing, never red and ripe. What does that mean? Start every day humbly saying, what else can I learn today? Jed, think about what you know today about media bids that you didn't know 6 months ago, that you didn't know 6 years ago. Ernest, I'm a living example of that. If I wasn't green and growing, I wouldn't be here today. The world keeps changing. We keep evolving, and that's important. Red and Ripe says, been there, done that, wrote the book, I got it, I'm all done. Really? Really? Because that's surefire to leave it. Step out of the sector because you cannot survive with the current pace. Maybe, Jed, in our early days when, you know, yep, I'm the newspaper, I'm just sitting here in my office and the phone's ringing, I'm taking orders all day. Maybe in those days you get red and ripe. But that party and that game is long done and that train has long rolled out of the station. Next point, never, ever settle for second place. You go into every single sales presentation with the intention of closing 100% of every single sales and selling opportunities, bar none. For those of you that are with us today, they're a part of our Sales Academy. You know exactly our focus on that. And lastly, never stop, never quit, never give up. That just goes without saying. Never stop, never give up. never quit. There's always an opportunity. And even a no today is a no right now. 30 days from today, that plumber you went out to give a presentation to, business slowed down, they're ready to buy. That chiropractor, that car dealership, that RV dealer, doesn't matter. The point is that a no only means right now. Jed, in my earliest days, before I got into media, I worked for this little bitty billion-dollar company called Motorola. Okay, we sold two-way radios and car phones and pagers, and we sold those big consoles into city government, you know, fire and police and so forth. Jed, in those days, if I missed a sale, you know, I got a no, I was out of that sale for 10 years, maybe 20, before I could get back in. That was a no with a boom, all caps. A media no is just for right now, just a current state of where they are. And there's always the possibility that they'll craft a new budget, that they'll tuck me in, that they'll compare me to other options. I'm always just one keystroke from a yes. Okay? So, Jed, as we're just kind of rolling around the bend, coming up on the top of the hour, how about some closing words as we wrap up our teleseminar here today?
Well, I think, all your teleseminars are good. I think this one definitely hit on some areas that I personally can learn from. So I really appreciate it. I thought it was very informative. And, you know, I want to thank everyone who joined us here today. And thank Ernest for imparting all of these great ideas.
Well, thank you so much, Jed. It's always a pleasure working together. For those of you that would like to learn more about Jed and MediaBids, simply go to their website, MediaBids.com, learn about what it is they're doing. For those of you that already work with Jed and their MediaBids team, you know that they are sterling, top shelf, and deliver on their promise. If you'd like to learn more about Power Hour or our Tuesday Academies or any of the work that we're doing here or things you've heard during this teleseminar, pop us a note. We'd be more than happy to have a conversation with you. Jed, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. And to all of you, we will be in touch soon with our next upcoming invitation for the next teleseminar. So take care and make it a great day.
Thank you. Thanks, Ernest. Thanks, everyone. Bye.